Actually, verse 15 through 20, and the second one will be Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26. Matthew chapter 7 is talking about a false prophet in verse 15, and then Jesus talks about how we will know the false prophets. And I'm going to read it from verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and then we'll move to Galatians chapter 5. Matthew chapter 7, page number from the Pew Bibles, 1032. You will recognize them by their fruits, and grapes gathered from thorn bushes or fig tree from thistles. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, and the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Let's move to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. Page number is found 1,239 from the Pew Bibles, 1,239. Chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions and divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. This is the Word of God. As you can imagine, I'm melting because I came from Alaska. 90s, 80s, barely we're making every day. I want to begin my message today with pop-up quizzes. I know you don't like it, but I want to try. I want to test you. But don't worry, I will not grade you. That is the best part. And then I'll try to show you a couple of pictures of trees. And I wish that you can tell me the name of the trees in the picture. There you go. Apple. Okay. A plus, I said. Apple, this is an apple tree. Now another question is, how did you know that this is an apple tree? This is not a grape or pineapple or mango or something else. We know this is an apple tree because this is an apple tree because it has a lot of fruits and apple fruits, many apples on the branches, right? And I'm going to show you the next picture. What about the next one? Orange. Yeah, this is orange tree. Now the same question for you is that I want to ask you, how did you know that this is an apple tree? Same thing. Yes, yes. Wow, good students. Yeah, we know it's not because it's pretty or yellow or or something else because of many oranges on the branch. Now, the thing is, did you know that the Bible also talks about fruit many times here and there, and especially spiritual fruits? And one of our texts that I read, it's one of great examples from the Bible. This is what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 through 20. You will recognize them by their fruits, verse 16. And verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. And 20, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Saying seven times, and fruits, and fruits, and fruits. And whether you like it or not, oftentimes the scripture tells us that we are like trees or fruits, especially Psalm 1. Nice picture. Now, the interesting thing is, we are, based on Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, you and I, we are recognized by our fruits. And people recognize you and me and say, oh yeah, they are Christians. I know them. They are God's people. Because they're fruits. And then Jesus tells us that there are two types of trees, he says. The first one is a good tree, and the second one is a bad tree. Now, from this tree metaphor from Jesus Christ, his teaching, it brings us some challenging questions that we have to think about it. We can ask, am I a good tree or a bad tree before God? Or we can ask, are we bearing many spiritual fruits that the Bible talks or not? Or we can ask this question like this. Is our church a good and healthy tree? Or is our church bearing many spiritual fruits? How about these questions? Does the world recognize you and me because of our good fruits? Does our neighbors recognize our church, New Hope Christian Reformed Church? Yeah, because of our good fruits. It's just really scary when we read Matthew chapter 7, verse 19, what Jesus says. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Based on his teaching, Jesus' teaching, I raise a few more questions, like a why questions. Now, if we are not bearing good fruits, not many, and the question is, why not? Why not? Why don't we produce more spiritual fruits in every day of our lives? Why not? Now, a tree will not only begin to bear fruit, its fruits, when it has a good environment. We know that, right? It needs adequate pollination process. It needs lots of sun and water. Now, one of these conditions is unfavorable. The tree may not bear any fruit at all. Then I see that the same thing is true with us, the Christians. Sometimes we cannot bear any fruit because we are under bad influences. The Bible clearly says that do not conform to the pattern of this world. We are the ones who shine and go shine the world and change the world and impact the world with God's love and God's word and God's grace. But oftentimes we find ourselves severely and constantly attacked by the world and its culture and philosophy, the lie from the world, and temptations, immorality, and worldly faith. Things from outside are coming to inside of a church, and they are impacting us we should impact the world, it's something is wrong. Then Paul comes with a list of, because that's why we are fruitless, then Paul comes with lots of fruits. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality," and keep going. And he says, "I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do not such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Because of all the things that we have from the world is challenging us, the world is shaping us, and we are heavily influenced by the world. Literally, we are under attack. That's why we are fruitless. Now, however, the scripture continually urges us to be fruitful. Not only one fruit, but multiple fruits. That is our text, Galatians chapter 5. When we read this passage, chapter 5, we see that in Paul's mind, there are two different types of people, like Jesus Christ. He had a mind that a bad tree, a good tree. Now Paul says, the first one is those who live according to the sinful nature, that is verse 19, fruitless people. And the second one is those who live by the Holy Spirit, that is fruitful Christians, fruitful people. Now Paul describes the fruitless people in verses 19 and 21, and he gives us an account of unfruitful Christians by the helping of the Holy Spirit in verse 22. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Not only Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit, but he also pushes his readers, including us, to have more, to produce more fruits every day. And he says, if we live by the Spirit, in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That means let us have more spiritual fruits. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are encouraged to bear more fruits through the work of the Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts. We are motivated. We're motivated every day to have more fruits in our lives. And we're also encouraged. The scripture invites us to have more spiritual fruits here, such joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Then among these nine fruits, Paul speaks and he puts love first. And there is a reason for that. Because love stands at the center of our lives, our faith, Christian life. As you look at the picture, love is like the trunk of trees. It's in the middle of our life. It is the support and directly connected to the root and transport all the nutrition to the branches. That's the trunk. The root is the word of God and the trunk is the channel of God's word. Now this time I'm not going to talk about the root. This is a series of sermons I will be talking about if the Lord's will, I will do it next time. So Paul, what Paul wants to say is this: without love, everything is meaningless. Without love, everything is powerless. So love is very important. That's why he put love first, and then the rest of the spiritual fruits: joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, that's why many people, countless children, have memorized John 3:16, we know that, for God so loved the world. Love is a starting point, and John says also, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. And the scripture teaches us that we should love God more than anything else. And we should love our neighbors as ourselves. Now we know love is important. Oh, Pastor James is talking about something that we know already. Yes, I know. We know love is important, and love is everything. Love is the foundation of God's mercy. Love is the source of God's saving grace. Love is our life principle. Yes. As God started everything with His love, we should be driven by God's love, our life, everything driven by God's love. Now, my question is, what is God's love? God's love is undeserved love. The central theme of the gospel we find in from the Bible is that God has come down. He came down. He came down to us in love and despite of our sinful natures. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. Very strong verse, verse 8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Such a powerful verse. There is nothing that we can deserve. We do deserve to have God's love. We are sinners before God, so we rather deserve God's punishment. That's the reality. But yet God has decided, that's His decision. God has decided to love you and me despite of our conditions and qualification. It doesn't matter. He made a decision that He will say, I love you. I don't care about your condition. Nothing else. But I love you. Now, one of the best illustrations of God's undeserved love is probably found in the book of Hosea. Now, we know that Hosea had a wife, and she was unfaithful to him all the time. So many times Hosea questions about his relationship to and with his unfaithful wife. I thought about him, and I think maybe it was easy for him to give up. Okay, that's it. You do it again. Okay, I don't want to see you again. Go away. I don't like you. I hate you. Maybe that's very easy for him. Just turn around and leave or go to a different country. Forget about it. His wife did not deserve Hosea's love at all. But the interesting thing is, this is what God says to Hosea. Chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm reading from the NIV. This is what God says. Go. I know you got hurt. It doesn't matter. Go and show your love to your wife. In another word, next one is again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods. Now, Hosea's story reminds you and me of our repeated unfaithfulness to God, isn't it? We do the same thing every day. I think at least I do the same thing every day. Basically, we just do whatever we want to do. We don't care about someone else. We don't care about what God says from the Scripture. Sometimes we just do because I like to do. We take our own ways. Many times we disappoint God. I don't know how many times I've made Him really sad and sorry. As a sinner before God, no one, even me and you, no one deserves God's love. No one deserves the love of Jesus Christ. through his death on the cross. But the interesting thing is, God proved his love while we were sinners, still sinners. Christ died for us. Sometimes we feel we're not qualified to receive God's love. Oh God, I'm not ready yet. I'm not qualified. But sometimes maybe we think that, hey, God doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me because of my sin or something else. You're wrong. The scripture clearly says that God loves you no matter what. God's love for us is steadfast, never changing. One time, it's a very interesting story I want to share with you. One time, I and my young people in Alaska, we went to the mall to watch a movie together. And then a boy, one of the boys came with his girlfriend. It's always happening in youth ministry. It's kind of exciting to see. But then I asked the boy, hey, do you love her? And he told me, yes, I do. I really love her. Yeah, I try to believe in him. Not after watching the movie, you know, we stopped by ice cream to get some ice cream for everyone. And then I witnessed an interesting incident there. The boy had some extra money to buy his ice cream. But the girl, his girlfriend, didn't have anything. She just came and without money, I guess. Then so boy just bought an ice cream cone for himself. And while his girlfriend was standing and watching him, who was selfishly licking his ice cream. He said, oh, this is good. Tastes good. And I thought maybe he loved her so much. But I guess he loved his ice cream more. I can't imagine. How can you buy an ice cream not sharing, just you eating for yourself? And then how can you say, I love you, but I love my ice cream at this moment? One thing is, Jenny, I love you more than ice cream. The love we can find in this world is very temporal and is selfish, many times self-centered. I love this, I love this, I love this. And it's always changing. Next time, I love this, this moment. Next time, I hate that. It's something like going to buffet. Go to China buffet in town, anywhere, you're so hungry. Oh, I love China buffet. I love to go there, eating so many fresh food, eating this. And after 1 hour later, I really hate Chinese buffet. Love we find in this world is like very temporal and very moody. Love changes, always changes, depending on our emotional temperatures. Sometimes really cold, we don't care about anything. Sometimes really hot. We are ready to die for something. I guess love, the word love is the most beautiful word that you can think of. But it will become one of the most untrusting words. There are many people in the world, they're not going to believe that phrase, I love you. Love is the most powerful word that you can say to your family, your children, your neighbors, and your spouse. But it will become useless, meaningless, and powerless in this world, in our worldly relationships. But God is different. God's love is totally different. Never changes. No one can steal it from us. It's always there. It's always here for us. God loves you and me always. That's what the scripture says. Romans chapter 8, verse 38, 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you and me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we are human beings. We think that, oh, is that true? Because I feel lonely today. I feel no one loves me. It looks like no one loves me. But you have to remember this. No one is able to separate you. No one can separate you and me from the love of God. Nothing. God's love is never changing and never failing. Once He says, it's right there. Once He said, it will be there. God loves you. His love is always be with you. God's love is a suffering love. In one of the quotes that I read for my message, Philip Kennison, he says, very interesting what he says. He says, God does not love us from a distance. Rather, God's love is such that it draws God into the very fabric of human life. I think he's right. If God says, I love you, all the people in New Hope Christian from church. But at this moment, I'm so busy taking care of other people, so I'll let you play for a while. And I'll come back maybe a few years later. No, if God is like that way, how can we trust His love? We're not going to trust Him. We're not going to believe Him. But when we are suffering, God is here with us. God confirms His love for us through the suffering of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, surely He took up our pain and bore our sufferings. And later on he says, the punishment that brought us peace was on Him. By His wounds we are healed. From the beginning of the world, God never stays away from our troubles and sufferings. Rather, He willingly, He came into your strugglings, your pains, and mine. As God promises, He's always with us. The God of Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, is always with us while we are suffering. Now maybe we feel that no one knows our pain. That's what we usually say. You don't understand about my pain. Maybe that is true. Maybe we can say, you don't understand my pain, but God understands. Maybe we believe that no one loves me, but listen. Listen to what God says to Isaiah. Surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering. Why? Because He loves you. When we cry, when you cry, when I cry, when we cry, God is with us to wipe out our tears. When we suffer, Jesus is with us to share our pains. When we feel no reason to live, the Holy Spirit is with us to strengthen our hearts and our faith. God loves you and He knows your sufferings. And He suffers with you today. Now, I was preparing my sermon. I thought, oh, this is really nice. I should end right here. And God loves you. It looks like I'm finishing up my message today. No, I'm sorry. We should have more practical applications because we now know about God's love. Now, we know that God's love and His love for us, undeserved and steadfast and suffering. And what shall we do? How can we actually bring God's love into our real life? I want to tell you a story from the Bible. It's from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 and 37. Now, one day, a law expert came to Jesus, you know that story, and then asked him about receiving an eternal life. How can I get an eternal life? And Jesus told him that, very simple, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbors as yourself. That's it, very simple. You have to follow these instructions. Then the law expert asked, this is interesting. Hey, Jesus Christ, you're talking about love, love, love. Then, love my neighbor. Then, who is my neighbor? Then Jesus told him a story. A man was robbed and severely beaten by the robbers. And later on, a priest passed by the man. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side, thinking, okay, I shouldn't be involved with him. I don't know if he's alive or dead. I don't know. But I need to go. I have my business. I need to go do something. Okay, maybe someone else will take care of him. Priest. Next, a Levite. Saw the man same time on the ground, and he also passed by the other side, and same thing. Oh no, what's going on? Now finally a Samaritan came by. We know them. The Jewish people, they looked down on them. Oh, you are Samaritans? No, I don't want to talk about anything with you. I don't want to step into your life at all. So they looked down on them. So a Samaritan came by, and when he saw, this is very interesting, when he saw the man, he took pity on him, and see, he went to him, actually, and bandaged his wounds, and pouring on oil and wine. And he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to a hotel and took care of him. Who's going to do that? The next day, he goes more. He took out $2,000, like a contemporary money, $2,000 from his pocket. And gave the money to the hotel manager and saying that, hey, you know what? Look after him. I'm going to return. When I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you have. No, I'll pay you back. So can you take care of this guy? Well, I was wondering, maybe the hotel manager asked him, do you know this guy? No, I don't know this guy. Why did you do that? Now, Jesus asked, which of these three was a neighbor? The law expert asked him, who is my neighbor? Now, Jesus is asking back, which of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? I'm pretty sure that the law expert thought about it and reflected on it. Okay, what am I supposed to say? Oh, yeah, I know the answer. The one who had mercy on him. That's obvious. I see it. Maybe he thought, okay, I'm smart enough to find it. But this is really shocking what Jesus said to him. Go and do likewise. Oftentimes, many times, we set up our own boundaries to love others. Okay, my love can go only this far. I'm sorry, I can't go further. We know God's love. We receive God's love. We understand God's love. We wanted to share God's love. Yes, that is true. Everyone is talking about love in the church. And we love God. And we have so many reasons to love our neighbors, but we have more reasons not to love our neighbors and people around us. Even sometimes in our church, we have so many reasons not to love our brothers and sisters in this church and the Lord. We say our neighbors are crazy, they are mean and crazy, having a party every night, loud music, driving crazy. I thought about this morning, police in this neighborhood is crazy because around 6 o'clock, I think I heard 20 times, Sometimes we think that our neighbors are non-believers, so they don't understand our lifestyles. They don't understand why we go to church almost every day. Or sometimes we say, we don't have time, I'm so busy. We are too focused on our own businesses and troubles and things. We're hands full. No time to see, no time to look others, to think about other neighbors. Like the Levites, the priest in the story. We have so many excuses and boundaries not to love our neighbors. Isn't that interesting? We are always talking about love, but all of a sudden when we practice love, okay, all right, this part, okay, that's it. I'm sorry, I did my best. But Jesus says different. Jesus gives us a simple rule. If we know God's love, if we want love fruit in our lives, go and do likewise. Go and love likewise. Paul says, Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 15, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but not to use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, it clarifies that rather serve one another humbly in love. Now, verse 14 and 15 are very interesting. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. I believe that God's love must be multiplied. God's love will be expanded, whether we like or not. God's love should be marching toward the world. When we go, we have to go with God's love and serve one another humbly in love. Go and serve our neighbors. Go and serve our brothers and sisters in this church. And God demands you and me to love and serve one another. Just break through your comfort zone. Just break through. If you just one step outside, you will realize that yes, so many people around us, they need the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot stay right now. Now this is our job. This is my job. Not my job. Not Pastor James is going out to do his job. I believe that this is your job too. Step outside of our comfort zone. Go a little bit more. Try to find who needs you. Who needs God's love? God's love invites you and me to go more. Serving one another is one of the symptoms of God's infection. When we have love fruit in our life, we should have this symptom. I need to go. I need to go and serve and share God's love. If we truly love someone, our hearts will be dragged by God's love. You know, that means simple. No love means no serving others. And even this is true, when we serve people without love, when we just serve people because we like to do it, then we are hypocrites. We are not like them. Many people outside, they do good job, many good things without the love of Jesus Christ. We are different. We do everything with God's love. Then our text, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit will help you and me to bear more spiritual fruits, the fruit of the Spirit, Now, Jesus Christ himself showed us his love for us. Love is the character of God, character of Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned before, you and I, we will be recognized by the love of Jesus Christ. God demands you and me to love others, love our brothers and sisters. Now, how can we do that? This is, I think, perfect time for us. Vacation Bible School next week is next week. Now, we have a one-week window, like 7 days. What do you want to do? Now, I can say we have only 7 days, but you can do many things. You can share, and you can go and share God's love with your neighbors. Neighbors' children, you invite them, your neighbors. You can pray for us. Pray for all the staff members. Pray for all the kids outside. So the people outside will see us. Oh, New Hope Christian from church. They do have something different. They do have fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. I will recognize them. You know, it was very interesting. 6 years ago, I came to Anchorage, Alaska from Michigan, Grand Rapids. And I think we landed in Seattle, and a couple hours later, we took a plane to Alaska. And we knew that that plane will go to Anchorage, Alaska. And we sat on the plane with Jenny and sitting there, and we thought, oh, maybe some of them are Trinity Christian Room Church members, maybe they are. So we have to be really, you know, be nice and try to be nice so that they, you know, they will recognize me when I go to church. I don't want to be like mean and rude, and all of a sudden I went to church. Oh, that guy I met in an airplane, he was so little. Now he's our pastor. Oh, I don't like him. Same thing happened when we came to Spokane. Seattle 1 hour, and then we try to catch an airplane and look at all the plane. Okay, maybe. Now, I'm pretty sure the world, people in the world, they will recognize you. And our neighbors, they will recognize you. Not by you are so awesome, because of your love. Because of the fruit you have, love fruit in your life. I think this week is a perfect week to practice. Bring God's love. Breaking through your comfort zone a little bit more. And the good thing is, the Holy Spirit will help you. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that just simply people in the world will be, you know, recognizing us because of our fruits. Not just because we are doing a really great job, but because of your love in our hearts. There are so many things sometimes we don't want to do because we have limited boundaries. But we want to remember what Jesus says. Go and do likewise. We have your love. So help us to go, to share your love. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ.